gold finger. He's the man with the Midas touch. A spider's touch. Such a cold finger beckons you to enter his web of sin. Kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold. This heart is cold. Golden words he will pour in your ear.
With inflation running at over 6%, interest rates on savings near zero, the Federal Reserve is delivering a negative 6% real inflation-adjusted return on trillions of dollars in your savings. This is effectively expropriating American savers' nest eggs at the rate of 6% a year. It's not only a problem in 2021. But it's been an ongoing monetary problem of long standing. The Fed has been delivering negative real returns on savings for more than a decade. It should be discussing with the legislature what it thinks about this outcome and its impact on savers. Welcome to a Tuesday night installment of The Edge of Darkness as we continue what we began last night. And we will re-enter that historical story here shortly. The effects of central bank monetary actions. Oh, and by the way, it's been reported that the current head of the Federal Reserve may be on the way out. So it'll be interesting to see who Joey gets put in there in that position. The effects of central bank monetary actions pervade society, transfer our wealth among various groups of people. That is a political action. Monetary policies can cause consumer price inflations like we now have, asset price inflations like those we have in equities and bonds and our houses and our cryptocurrencies. They can feed bubbles, which turn into busts. Oh, that's right. China announced today that they are banning all cryptocurrency mining. So what happens when all this stuff turns into busts? Negative real yields push savers into equities, junk bonds, houses, cryptocurrencies, temporarily inflating prices further while substantially increasing risk. They can take money away from conservative savers to subsidize leveraged speculators, thus encouraging further speculation. They can transfer wealth from the people to the government by the inflation tax. They can punish thrift and prudence and self-reliance. You see, my friends, it's simple. Savings are essential to long-term economic progress and to personal and family financial well-being and responsibility. However, the Federal Reserve's policies and those of our government in general have subsidized and emphasized the expansion of debt and unfortunately appear to have forgotten all about savings. You see, the original theorists of the savings and loan movement, to their credit, were clear that first you had savings to make possible the loans. Our current unbalanced policy could be described, instead of savings and loans, as loans and loans. There's far more to that story, but we'll have it published later tonight. I just found it an interesting re-entry into the historical aspects that we began discussing last night. As we ended the program, we were talking about the collapse of Michigan Central Railroad and because of several banks failing. Public confidence might have been restored with the arrival of a large gold shipment from California, but the steamer America sank with $1.6 million of California gold, brought about a new stage in the panic. September 25th of 1857, the Philadelphia banks suspended all gold payments. Now, you might be asking, what difference does all of this make? That's what, 150-odd years ago. Because, folks, it keeps coming around again. Whether a ship sinks or a manufacturer sinks, it matters not. Confidence, when this all happened, shattered. Across the country, citizens began to hoard gold, convert their paper into gold. Then Secretary Howell Cobb attempted to purchase bonds with Treasury gold, but quickly found that citizens turned in their bonds quicker than the mint could coin gold. By October 13th of 1856, a year earlier, the U.S. Treasury had suspended convertibility and disbursement of gold. And so the only area of the United States that did not suffer from the 1857 panic in California was California, because that's where the gold production was in full swing. So now we step up a few years, and it's important to understand all these historical steps, not only in this nation, but in other places around the world, because it has affected our ability to survive, to grow. But all this stuff is buried. All this stuff is so badly hidden. They don't want people to understand the truth and the reality, not just economically, but with all the things that we face each and every day. February 25th, 1862, Congress authorized a $150 million issue of legal tender U.S. notes, which came to be known as greenbacks. The promoters of the greenback expedient, that was Lincoln's Secretary of the Treasury, Salmon Portland Chase. Gee, I wonder what bank that was named after. Senator John Sherman. They financed the Civil War by printing press instead of taxation. And as Secretary of the Treasury during the Civil War, Chase initiated, at the wishes of banking interests, a financial system based on paper credit, including the National Banking Act, as well as national banknotes. The U.S. had still not learned its lesson. Oh, my word, all these years later, we've still not learned the lesson. We just learned new magical tricks. Then comes a subject we've discussed on numerous occasions. I think we brought it up just a couple of weeks ago. The Great German Inflation of 1922 and 23. Probably the most tragic example of what can happen when paper issues get out of hand. In 1913, Germany was on the gold standard. Gold coins of 10 and 20 marks, along with banknotes in denominations of 10, 20, 50, 100, 1,000 marks were in circulation. And over these many years that I've been in business, as a matter of fact, the first two gold coins that I purchased personally at the age of 12, and I'm 73 now, were German 20 mark pieces. Of course, gold back then was $35 an ounce. Didn't cost me a lot to buy them. You just had to know somebody who had them that was willing to sell them. My grandfather knew such people, and I was introduced. That was my first entry into the gold market. So going back, the Reichsbank was careful to keep substantial gold reserves, and the mark was convertible into gold until July of 1914, a year later. During the pre-World War I crisis period, there was a run on the banks in Germany as people hastened to exchange paper notes for gold coins. And on August the 4th of that year, the Reichsbank suspended exchange. But in order to finance the war effort, the Reichsbank began suspending convertibility into gold. You could no longer convert your paper Reichsmarks into gold. The government then began to flood the market with paper money. And during the next decade, the paper mark depreciated against the gold mark, so that by 1923, one needed 1 trillion. Do you know how much a trillion is? It's 1 million paper marks just to purchase a single gold mark. By 1923, the simple purchase of a loaf of bread required a wheelbarrow full of paper marks. And eventually, in time, Uncle Adolf took over to help to restore the economy of Germany, along with the great uncle of my best friend, who I served in Vietnam with. His great uncle, Herr Max Schacht. So let's ask the question, why did they not do what they do, not what they say? The inscription on a U.S. $100,000 note reads as follows. This is to certify that there is on deposit in the Treasury of the United States of America $100,000 in gold payable to the bearer on demand as authorized by law. The key words are in gold. Compare this promise of payable in gold to the lack of a promise on other U.S. notes. In fact, if you take a $10 bill out of your pocket and ask the U.S. Treasury for something in exchange, they're going to offer you another $10 bill. Or a five and five singles, and you get the idea. So who owns these $100,000 bills payable in gold? Well, they're not in circulation. As a matter of fact, a $100,000 bill cannot circulate to the public at all. These $100,000 bills payable in gold on demand are owned by the Federal Reserve System, and only by the Federal Reserve System. And why? Because the Federal Reserve does not even trust its own paper money. You see, the Fed, the present-day Kublai Khans, are hogging all the gold quietly by keeping the claim in the form of $100,000 exclusive bills, and they pass off paper onto unsuspecting citizens. And so the answer? Time for you and I to do what they do, not what they say. You see, my friends, gold has proven to be throughout history the ultimate insurance. Stop looking at it as an investment other than in security. Gold has proven throughout history to be the ultimate insurance. It has provided salvation for political refugees from many countries in many circumstances. As has been told many times, it literally saved the lives of many peasants during the fall of Saigon who were able to buy their way to freedom, trade their gold, start a new life. I did an entire program on that about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. All the Vietnamese paper currency in the world did not save those without gold. Gold's role throughout history as an inflation hedge is well known. But gold also provides protection against severe deflation, again, holding its value as the prices of most other goods and commodities decline, something that's not happening in this country today. Goods and commodity prices are increasing daily. In California, they had two price increases on gasoline in the last 24 hours. We went up 10 cents yesterday. During deflations, gold's purchasing power is maintained or often actually increased. A one-time majority study of gold's behavior confirms all of this. During the two major deflations of the past century plus, towards the end of the 19th century and in the 1920s and early 30s, gold not only maintained its value, but actually increased it. From 1920 to 33, while commodities were down 59%, gold was up 182% in nominal terms. And while its purchasing power had jumped 251%. So apart from cash, gold has proven to be the best thing to hold during a deflation. Historically, gold has been one of the best defenses against financial panics, weak currencies, an investment that has been able to hold its purchasing power through decades of both inflation and deflation. From 1929 to 1933, for example, commodity prices fell by 31%, but the purchasing power of gold rose by nearly 47%. It's proven to be a hedge against crisis, historically, not just in our lifetime, but in so many people's lifetimes. Because gold, in fact, is the only hedge against both inflation and deflation. And that is what we mean when we say that gold is a store of value. Throughout history, it has broadly kept its value in terms of purchasing power. Don't worry about what Wall Street tells you the value of an ounce of gold is. That is somewhat of a joke. Yes, that's what an ounce of gold is worth on paper. Will that piece of paper buy you food? Will it buy you safety? Will it buy you security? No. But that piece of gold will. Because you see gold, because it is a compact store of value, because it's somewhat rare, because it's virtually indestructible, because it is universally recognized and instantly tradable, because it's the only asset which is not someone else's liability. Because of this combination of unusual properties, gold is proven to be ideally and uniquely suited for the role of insurance. See, there's that word. Your gold insurance position is intended to provide protection, not gain. If it does happen to provide gain, that's great. But protection, that insurance, that is the most important factor. Gold is to be held more or less permanently, without regard to fluctuations in the daily price of the so-called metal. Just as you do not cancel your flood insurance after one dry season, or cancel your life insurance because you didn't kick the bucket this year, so too should you keep your gold insurance position throughout good times and bad. But the question comes up, how much gold? And there's a wide range of different opinions on that issue. I recently had a conversation with two sisters. Their brother had long conversations with him about purchasing silver. Silver, silver, silver. That's all he talked about. But when I began to talk to the two sisters individually, I shared several examples with them of the problem with putting it all in gold, given the dollar amount that each one of them were looking at spending. And they're not young spring chickens. They're both in their 70s, as I am. And what happens if where you live gets into a fire, gets into flood, gets into some kind of a horrendous disaster, much like the story I've told in the past about Hurricane Katrina, when my client and his wife were forced to evacuate with their kids. And they had a lot of silver. But the children become somewhat more valuable than the silver. They had to move to Atlanta for some time, 4 months. They were able to grab their gold. It was in tubes. They stuck it in their pockets, their purse. They left, and they were able to survive being away from their home for 4 months. They were able to buy food and clothing and whatever was necessary, medical assistance, etc. And when I explained that to these two sisters, they each agreed, and it made common sense to them. And they each put a percentage of their funds into gold. And I think it was a very wise, wise thing for them to do. So the question is, how much gold should you own for insurance purposes? Several different suggestions have been made by various different people over the years. Obviously, a lot depends on your individual circumstances, your age, your obligations, your assets. My general common belief is typically a minimum of 10 to 20% of your total liquid assets should be in gold. Set aside for insurance purposes. More as you become older and your assets grow, decreased only as your need for insurance decreases. Your insurance gold should be purchased in numerous different forms, bullion coins, American Eagles, Canadian Maple Leafs, South African Krugerrands. There's Vienna Philharmonics. Occasionally Chinese pandas if they come along, but I don't trust the chinky dinks in the way they mint products. These kind of acquisitions, I think, can be quite important. There are those who would strongly urge you to also acquire uncirculated numismatic coins, St. Gaudens and $20 Liberty pieces, etc. I'm not against it, but I must also honestly say to you that I've not looked at pricing on those coins for quite some time. And I haven't done it because I learned only too well what a crooked game that can be. It can be highly manipulated. Each one of those coins in the $20 variation actually weigh less than an ounce. I'm not saying get rid of them if you've got them. I've got a client who's trying to get rid of some, and I'm not finding the market very good for it. I want clean. I want simple. You know, there are sayings out there that you've heard. Buy gold, pray that it goes down. Don't wait to buy gold and wait. Well, the whole mentality of buy gold and pray that it goes down is, in my estimation, is hopefully going to allow me to buy more gold when the price goes down. But it doesn't matter whether it goes up or down. It's in essence, it's going to buy the same amount of goods and services. That's what's most important. It should be noted that these kind of gold-related vehicles, as mining shares or gold-based mutual funds, those are paper assets. That's not investing in gold or silver as it applies. They're fine for the risk or performance areas of your portfolio, but they're not appropriate for an insurance position. Hope you understand that. After providing for insurance, your first aim in constructing your portfolio should be to protect what you have rather than making any great profit. And these are amongst the reasons we buy gold. Gold is an essential ingredient of this part of your overall portfolio, but it's something you must be very quiet about. As numerous studies have shown, gold over the longer term provides increased performance, reduced risk, less volatility to an overall portfolio as a whole. But once again, not if you're basing that on what Wall Street's telling you spot is every day. Don't waste your time. Buy it, shut up about it, be private about it, and put it away. It'll be there for you when you need it. Because gold does tend to smooth out the punctuation of other investments, generally behaves well when other investment markets like stocks and bonds and paper currencies are doing badly. You only need to look at gold's role as a safe haven, a stable source of liquidity during the stock market crashes of the 1980s and coming back into, you know, 2006, 2007 era, etc. Gold also plays a key role in the central bank's efforts to spare the dollar from an outright collapse in early November of 1987. Bet you forgot that one. My friends, historically, gold has proven to be the number one hedge. Regardless of the dollar numbers affixed to it, an ounce of gold would have bought a good quality men's suit during the era of Henry VIII, just like it would have done when this country was founded or during the War of Northern Aggression or when the 20th century opened. And it'll still buy one hell of a good quality men's suit today. Boy, I certainly hope so at damn near $2,000 an ounce. But all of this, despite the fact that the cost of labor in the suit has risen remarkably. But all the factors of raw materials and labor and overhead and merchandising became reflected in the single rising figure of the price of gold. But it's not the gold that has a price. Gold is what the French called numérature, the measuring rod by which all other prices are gauged. And more to the point, the purchasing power of gold throughout the ages has allowed gold holders an unequaled preservation of wealth. It's that simple. It's point blank. If we were using gold coins to pay for our consumer purchases, today's prices would look surprisingly familiar to those who cherish a nostalgia for the numbers they knew in young childhood. You know, a loaf of bread would be 7-8 cents, martini a quarter, gasoline, even after OPEC had done its dirty deeds, would be 10 to 12 cents a gallon. A new Volkswagen would have cost probably $600 that many remember. A new Chrysler would have cost about $1,250, and the $100,000 home could be bought for under $15,000, except the one problem with that. Now that $100,000 home is $400,000. Just keep in mind that he who has the gold makes the rules. Oh, yeah, I can go back, give you the historical story. It's the year 560 BC. King Croesus of Lydia decreed gold to be the medium of exchange, and the heads of state have understood the connection between power and gold. And today it's also true. Countries like Japan and Mexico and China, Canada, the UK, many other European countries, the U.S. is minting gold coins and has been now since, what, 1986? Well, our government's come a long way in the multi-decades from 1933 to 1974 where Americans weren't even permitted to own gold. There were exceptions. People are buying it now. People want that privacy. People want that security. And it's something that each and every one of us needs to give serious consideration to. And you can do it by answering some questions for yourself. How safe is your bank? God, some of the biggest banks in this country are just getting sued left and right for more cases of fraud. Chase, Wells Fargo, Bank of America. It goes on and on and on. How safe is your stock portfolio? Your treasury bills? How safe are your government bonds? How safe is the principal in your life insurance policy? How safe is your cash? I've shared this story with you I don't know how many times, if you're a listener. If you had $10,000 in cash in your hand and $10,000 in gold and decided to just hide them under your bed and your house caught on fire and burned down, what happens to the cash? Poof. It's gone. You've still got the gold. It may change shape. It may melt. It may do some things, but the gold is still there and still maintains value. Have you ever had a stock go to zero? Ever had your bank go under with your cash? Or shut down for a week or so because the bank was in trouble and they're getting ready to get bought out by somebody else and you couldn't even get into your bank to get any of your money? Ever lost your pension due to the failure of the managing firm? Well, you can deny it, but there are people that have done it. If you've never experienced all of those things, then stick around. It may not be too long now. Hundreds of thousands of people in this country have experienced the losses of life savings, retirement funds, homes, and more. And if you've ever considered what to do, read on. Well, let's not read on. I hope you've been listening on, because I think that we've attempted to share with you the one option that will provide you a degree of security. But I also understand that given all that so many people are going through in this country right now, not everybody can afford to buy gold. They don't have it. They don't have the money. They're trying to keep food on the table. Look at the massive job losses we've experienced in this country in the last year and a half. And the insanity did each and every one of us face. As we've tried to share with you, gold is one of the only liquid assets that is not someone else's liability. And why? Because true wealth comes from the earth. Most people don't look at gold this way. They look at gold as merely a trading medium or a piece of jewelry. But it's one of the few assets that has held enduring value for over 3,000 years. Throughout history, gold has taught man a very valuable lesson that he keeps refusing to absorb, that precious metal is the only real money in the world, the only standard of value. And when paper money forces metal money from circulation, the paper will always depreciate in value down to zero. There have been no exceptions. There will be no exceptions. Gold is the ultimate insurance. Period. Historically, it's been one of the best defenses against financial panics and weak currencies. I think we've tried to share that with you between last night and tonight. And after a while, it gets pretty damn simple to understand, I would think. It's unbelievable to me. The question, once again, how much gold should you own for your insurance purposes? Once again, a lot depends on your individual circumstances, your age, your obligations, etc. 15-20%, that's my personal belief. Because, my friends, in these days of rapidly changing conditions, there are some investment counselors advise their clients to secure their portfolios by investing in gold. Now, let me tell you a story about this. I received a phone call today from a listener, a man that I've not spoken with via voice in quite some time. We stay in touch in other venues. He called me because one of his, I believe, daughters is a banker. And she was meeting with, it may have been with a credit union or a federal something or other. I can't recall that portion of it. It's been a long day, James, so bear with me. And she was meeting with a client who had about $100,000 sitting in that bank. And he's getting very concerned. He doesn't like the direction it's going. He knows that the purchasing power of his dollar sitting in that bank is going downhill. It's going nowhere but down. And had mentioned to her that he was considering taking 40% of that money and putting it into gold and silver. The information has been passed along. Hopefully I will hear from the gentleman. If not, it's okay. At least I've been able to provide information that will be a benefit to him to ensure that he does not get taken to the cleaners. Look, people, I'm a strange bird. There are a good number of you who have done business with my firm. It doesn't matter what the website's called. It was called Morgana Precious Metals. It's called Sierra Madre Precious Metals. The name of my company is Kettle Moraine LTD. That's how all business is conducted. Once you have done a transaction with any other company in this country, the phone calls will begin every several weeks, once a month at the least. And they're always going to have a hot deal for you. I don't do that because I believe in maintaining a degree of your privacy. If you have trust, you have faith in me and what I've done for you, what I've provided information-wise, product-wise, etc., etc., and if you have a decision or a need to make a call again, you'll do it. I've worked for companies like Swiss America. That was my first professional endeavor into this market. And those people are on the phone as many hours of the day as they're off, you know, they're working. And they've always got a hot deal for you. And it's always got some biblical reference to it, that there's no, you know, the dollar is the instrument of the devil. It's never mentioned in the Bible, and gold and silver are the only forms of money, blah, 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 blah. Let's pray about it. Oh, don't think I'm kidding you, because I'm not. I remember a woman who came in to Swiss America one day years ago. She didn't come in. She had placed an order for $100,000 worth of gold. And you've got something like 24 or 48 hours to get your funds wired in. Well, her money didn't come in. It didn't come in. And the salesman calls, you know, and she says, well, I prayed about it, and I've changed my mind, and this doesn't feel right, blah, blah, blah. And at that point in time, the CEO of Swiss America happened to be there in a meeting and gets on the phone with her, and interestingly enough, his pastor was there. And the pastor gets on the phone with the woman and tells her that she made a covenant with Swiss America, just as she made a covenant with God, and she can't violate that covenant, must go through the transaction, blah, 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 blah. That's nothing but pure sales pitchman's garbage. Well, she went through the deal. And in some respects, it's to her benefit, but not through lies and through deceit. Those kind of sales pitches anger me beyond belief. It reached a point one day where I was still, in effect, one of the junior so-called representatives there, and I had some good clientele, people I continued to do business with for many years after I left that firm. And we were having a meeting with their attorney on a Friday, who was instructing us how we were supposed to testify for those of us that we're going to be coming over to testify on behalf of Swiss America. And we were being told exactly how to answer the questions. The problem is, I knew that some of those answers were bold-faced lies. I wasn't playing that game. And when the meeting was over, I walked to my desk and I packed everything up, walked up to the sales manager and said, I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm not going to perjure myself to support this company. That was on a Friday. On Monday, my Monday night, my phones at home began to ring. I won't bore you with that whole story. But all of my clients, all the people I'd been working with at the 2.5, 3 years I've been with Swiss America, all got calls from senior brokers at Swiss America informing them that I had left and that I had personally had such great concern for them that I had gone through and hand-selected specific coins for each of these people to consider. And these folks knew something was wrong, and they all started calling me at home. That's how open I am. I don't like lies. I don't like deceit. It angers me. There's no reason to conduct business that way. I'm very conservative in the way I treat your money, because after all, it's your money. It's not my money. I don't have a right to play with it. I'm not always the lowest price. There's times that we've got competitive issues. Sometimes we are low. Other times we're not. But you're getting honest, straightforward service from me. That's the only way I'm going to do business. If you want to go out and play games and get the song and dance, then don't call me. I'm not here to give a song and dance. The other thing to keep in mind is, for those of you who are listeners to RBN, any transaction that we conduct together also benefits this network. 50% of the profit proceeds go to RBN to keep us on the air. This is the agreement that I had with John for many, many years, and I will stick by that. So do keep that in mind. It's just another way of contributing to the network's benefit to keep it on the air, but it also benefits you. with some of the security issues we discussed here tonight. Keep several things in mind. Gold usually proves to be a barometer of the public's confidence in their government and its leaders. How much confidence do you have in your government and its leaders today? Probably about as much as I do, which is diddly squat. How confident in you or are you of their ability to get us out of this nightmare? Don't wait to buy gold. Buy gold and wait. Now, why haven't I discussed silver tonight? Silver right now is exceedingly tough to get in a timely fashion. I talked to one of my suppliers today. And in fact, I have to call the other one tomorrow because I've not talked to him in a couple of months and I'm very concerned about him. The last time I spoke with him, he informed me that he had COVID. And that always bothers me. But talking to my main supplier, the guy who I do the largest amount of shipping for, let's take a look at some things here. Let's take a peek. Let's take a look at some 1 ounce pieces. Let's take a look and see what spot gold and silver. I'm going to give you a rough figure right now. Spot at about $24.90 for silver. You're taking a look at possibly as much as. Eesh, that spooks the hell out of me. You're going to tell me, okay, that's about right. About $5 an ounce over spot is what you're looking at. Sometimes higher than that. $5 to $6 above spot is about average. Now, if I call my local guy, typically for smaller purchases, I'm going to pay a higher price. You know, one, two, three rolls, that type of thing. If you're just looking for a couple of rolls, I can do it. You're going to pay a slightly higher price, but I can deliver that. And if he doesn't have it, I won't be able to buy it. My big supplier right now don't get spooked. Those of you who've already got stuff on order, don't get spooked out because I'll make a call tomorrow and find out what kind of hold we're still looking at. Silver's coming in very slow right now. The only thing I'm happy about is they've not gotten greedy to the point where they're jacking the prices up to where we were back in April and May, where we are running $7 to $12 over spot, depending on the product we were buying. There was some silver back then. We sold at $44. But that was also a very specialized silver. It was the Mexican Libertads. They come at a much, much higher premium. They're very tough to get. They haven't minted them for years. They're in massive demand all over the world. And so we do pay a higher price for those. But for some of this other stuff, you know, it looks like right now we're sitting, like I say, at about $24.90, $25 spot on silver. And I'm looking at prices as low as $28.50. But that's typically if you're buying a full box of 400 or 500. And I can do that. But depending on where we get it, where the mintage factor is, who's got it. I don't want to start looking at some of this other stuff. It's insane. Absolutely insane. I don't want to start looking at $32, $33. What the heck is this thing I just came by? Hang on. No, that wasn't it. Oh, these look like Walking Liberty, the original design. Yeah, well, those aren't the American Eagle. American Eagle's grossly high-priced. I won't even go looking at them. I'm looking at stuff right now that, okay, let's just say worst case right now for silver at $30 per coin for 20 coins and under. Okay? just for fun, I want to go take a look and see what the eagle's going for. I haven't looked. I stopped looking. It's outrageously priced. Okay, there's only one size. Don't give me this business. Oh, my God, over $40 a piece? For what? The same purity, the same everything. $40 to $42 a piece for an American Eagle. It's not worth it, folks. Not to me, it's not. Insane. So, what I was told today is that silver is late December, not including orders that have already been placed and paid for. And all the orders I've got have been paid for, money's in place, the whole nine yards. I will find out tomorrow what our delay still is. I believe I was told late November. And so that's what we're probably still looking at. But let's take a look at a couple of the gold options we've got. My supplier must have made the most massive purchase of the golden half sovereigns. They still have some available. I've been marketing so many of these over the last 2 months, it's pitiful to me. I acquired some for myself because I love the damn things and because it is still one of the most recognizable fractional gold coins in the world. Keep in mind, there was a point in time that the sun never set on the British Empire. They literally had their hands in over two-thirds of the nations all over this world. And their money circulated. Okay? So we still have access to some of those. Now, gold currently sitting at about $18.52 an ounce. I can still get the half sovereigns. Right now, we're looking at about $262.50 a piece. Minimum order would be for five coins. These weigh a little more than a tenth of an ounce. And if we go looking at, in fact, I haven't even looked, and I normally do that. Let's go take a look and see what we've got over here. Let's take a look at American Eagles. Let's see what tenth ounce eagles are going for right now. Come on, baby, let's go. Tenth ounce, come on, I want the big stuff. Yeah. They're higher priced. They're $270, $275 a piece for 10th ounce eagles right now. And we're sitting with a British half sovereign that has got more gold content than a tenth of an ounce. Uh-huh. And it's less money. Duh. But that's a minimum order of five on those. And there is still some shipping and handling costs on it. If you start looking at buying a full roll, I'll tighten some things up. I'll get you some slightly better pricing. Shipping will also be included with a full roll, which is typically 40 coins. Even at 20 coins, I'll work with you. Take advantage of these. And I had a number of people that I did not hear back from who were interested in buying small orders, 5, 6, 7 coins, that type of thing. I can do that. 602-799-8214, 602-799-8214. You can also always send me an email as well. And I can probably get an email a lot faster than I'll get your phone call with a message left on voicemail. You can get the email by going to the website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. If you're listening on RBN, just go to the RBN website. And over on the right-hand side, you'll see a painting of Humphrey Bogart from the movie Treasure of Sierra Madre. Just click on it. It'll take you to a page. And you'll be able to see our phone number and our email address. Just take advantage of it. Be happy to work with you in any way possible. Another interesting option, however. The best buy in one-ounce gold pieces, if you're interested in looking in that direction, are South African Krugerrands right now. They are a superb buy, far less expensive than Eagles and Maple Leafs, etc. But here's the other kicker. They're available for immediate delivery. And we can pick up Krugerrands for $1,942 each. Same thing. Give me a call, 602-799-8214. Also, any of our email addresses, Kettle Marine Precious Metals, Kettle Marine LTD at Cox.net. The problem is if you misspell kettle marine, you'll never get through. Go to the website. You'll be able to just click on it. It'll connect you. Okay? So there are some interesting things available in gold. Prices are very, very fair. I'm not unhappy with any of that stuff at this point. I would say take advantage of it. It's too important not to. And hopefully what we have tried to do between last night and tonight, other than bore the living hell out of you probably, is to give you some history behind gold and what it's always done and never failed with doing. Okay. By the way, all prices quoted will be subject to market movement. And as we're sitting here right now, gold is actually up about $3 from the beginning of tonight's program. So keep that in mind. That can adjust things a little bit. And that's typical. Very, very typical. So, I don't know what you've gotten out of this program tonight. I hope you've gotten some good things. Tomorrow night, it is my plan to return to our Wednesday night health program. Some very, very interesting things to share with you tomorrow night. Most of it pretty positive. Some of it may actually even provide you with, oh, maybe a little bit of laughter. And good Lord, folks, it's needed. Secondly, if you tuned in last Friday night's program, we did part one of a two-part musical program. The music of Sarah Vaughan. No, I'm sorry. I take that back. It was, and I'm blanking. I'm tired. It's been a long day. Who the heck was it? I'm going nuts. I can't even think. No, I'm dragging butt. Who the heck was it? Oh, Lena Horne. Lena! Hey, Lena Horne! We did part one, which was interesting because it had some great music on it. Some of her marvelous history. Interview with Johnny Carson. Also her appearance on Sanford and Son. It was a very unusual program, but the music is just superb. Her story is just so amazing. We will be airing part two of that this Friday night. And you know what? I know some of you folks don't care. You don't want to hear that stuff. You want to tune in and listen to the political discussions of the day, economic discussions of the day, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, we all need a break from all of this. And that's what I try to do on Friday nights, is give you a little bit of that break. Do some dancing, sit back, relax, look back, remember the good times. That's why we do it. On one of my computers, I have a two-hour program that I did on Alzheimer's. And I'm going to have to look through the computers and find out where that is. I'm going to get it transferred over to my main computer. I badly want to air that two-hour program for a couple of reasons. It was one of the best programs I did on dementia and Alzheimer's, but it was also done the morning after the death of Glenn Campbell. It also had some interesting music in it. Some of the, I think, the best stuff the guy ever did. So we're going to do our best to see if we can find that. But do join us tomorrow night. And for life, liberty, and your good health, or to health with you, or whatever you want to call it, we'll welcome you to the pharmacy. No, not that pharmacy. This one's spelled F-A-R-M-A-C-Y. Good, healthy food. Because frankly, you're the only ones in charge of your health. You need to eat more correctly. And I know that I do. Exercise. Take all natural, non-GMO, non-synthetic vitamins. Most think there's a magic pill for everything wrong. You and I. You and we're the only ones responsible for our own health. It's something I learned from Kelly so years ago. Yeah, you are what you eat. Don't use the poison sprays. Use only organic fertilizer if you're growing your own stuff. Just remember, your doctor can't cure you of anything. Anyway, take advantage of the gold offerings. Keep in mind, this helps support RBN, keeps them going. And that's good. The sooner the better. I'm worn out. I got a lot going on here tonight, man. Thanks for being with us tonight. And I hope you learned some things with it. And hope you'll take advantage. And hope you'll tune in tomorrow night as we'll deal with some health-related issues. Good Lord knows we need that. Take care of yourselves.
At the end of a rainbow, you'll find a pot of gold. At the end of a story, you'll find it's all been told. But our love has a treasure our hearts can always spend, and it has a story without any end. At the end of a river, the water stops its flow. At the end of a highway, there's no place you can go. But just tell me you love me, and you are only mine, and our love will go on till the end of time. The water stops its flow. At the end of a highway, there's no place you can go. But just tell me you love me, and you are only mine, and our love will go on till the end of time.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.